People from minority cultures are no more at risk for mental illness than anyone else, but they often deal with many stresses the general population may know little about. Acclimation, trying to learn English, discrimination, the loss of community, and perhaps the shock of arriving in the US from a war-torn nation or after suffering personal atrocities.
The tales you hear are not nice.
That's Deborah Lavner, co-director of the Refugee Center in Urbana.
Rape is very common. Very, very common. We had one person tell us that their sister died on the route in the desert, that whoever was bringing them left them. She had to leave her out there in the desert, you know, just out in the middle of nowhere for the animals. Sooner or later, that's going to come home to roost, and I don't know that the medical people around are ready for that.
But mental health care providers say treating such traumatic experiences is often more straightforward than interpreting the subtle nuances of mental illness among the hundreds of cultures now living in the US. The first challenge is getting the patient in the door. Dr. Joan Liatto is clinical director of International Faces, an outreach program in Chicago. She says there's still a strong stigma among Americans when the subject is mental illness. And in other cultures, that feeling is often intensified.
You're considered crazy if you see a psychologist, a psychiatrist, and you're also considered to be bringing a lot of shame to your family if you go for these types of services.
Elaine Hsu, a professional translator at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, adds sometimes the friends and loved ones of minority patients may not even realize there's a mental health issue involved.
For example, in some cultures, like Chinese cultures, if a person is afraid of going out, their family members might just take up their daily chore and go out shopping for the person. It might never come to their mind that this person has mental health issues.
She says sometimes even if they do realize, often they're too overwhelmed to seek help as they're struggling to manage their families in a new culture. One of the most common issues mental health care providers deal with are psychosomatic disorders, physical manifestations of mental problems. Dr. Margie Akin is a cultural specialist at Molina Healthcare Incorporated in California. She says patients of different cultures often display different physical symptoms for the same underlying illness. She gives the example of a Cambodian man who for years suffered from terrible stomach pain, but whose diagnostic tests would always come back negative.
It wasn't until a social worker became involved in the situation and we discovered that the patient had seen his parents starve to death during the Pol Pot regime, that we could understand the pain associated with food and eating.
Language is also a problem when it comes to diagnosing and treating mental illness. Hsu says few interpreters are trained to see the clues that are behind the patient's words.
The psychiatrists make diagnosis not just based on what you said, but also how you said it, whether you're saying really fast, or you sound anxious, you sound scared. When a patient doesn't speak the language, and the psychiatrist need to rely on an interpreter to make diagnosis, the quality of the voice is lost in translation.
And Liatto says even interpreting the body language of a minority patient can be problematic. She gives the example of Asian women.
They'll oftentimes spend the session, you know, with their eyes downcast, and I think in our culture, something that we're encouraged to do since we're very young is to maintain eye contact with people that we're talking with. And in fact, oftentimes in our culture, when people are looking towards the ground and if their head's kind of drawn downwards, you know, we interpret that as they're depressed. They have low self-esteem. When in fact, you know, in many Asian cultures, it's a sign of disrespect to look somebody in the eyes.
Another example Liatto gives is of patients who come in saying they hear voices.
There's cultures where people believe that if they've lost a loved one, that they hear the loved one's voice, that the loved one is with them. Whereas I think in American culture, someone says they're hearing a voice, and we immediately think, oh, they're hallucinating, they're having auditory hallucinations, when in fact, that could be something that they experience as an integral part of their grief.
James Scully is medical director of the American Psychiatric Association. Earlier this year, he gave a speech to members of Congress saying doctors must expand their knowledge base of minorities. In Scully's words, a better understanding of the ethnic and cultural contexts of mental health can help us overcome access issues. And Dr. Liotto agrees.
Where we need to continue to put some efforts is into educating providers about different cultures, about the best way to engage different families. I think looking at it less as them accessing us, I think we need to really work on accessing them.
She says some important changes are taking place, such as bringing mental health services directly to minority cultures where they live and go to school. But she adds those changes are taking place slowly, and there is still much to be done. This is Kavitha Cardoza.